Good evening. The number of single adults in the US and many other nations around the world today is unprecedented. But what about India? Historically, we've been a country where the single woman has been considered an anomaly, where the moment she comes of age, the family's collective energies are devoted into getting her married, where divorces, widows, and spinsters are frowned upon. But this is 2018, and despite being a country obsessed with marriage, according to the census, there are 71 million single women in India today. So everywhere you look, in urban India at least, you'll meet single working women not willing to be governed by laws and societal norms set generations ago. Women who've been financially liberated by the salaries they earn. And it's a demographic that is growing. According to the census, there's been a 39% increase in the number of single women in India since 2001. And whether it's women who are marrying later or marriages that are breaking up faster, we now have the largest population of single women in the history of our country. So is the 21st century the age of living single? Or is it a life that's still devoid of social legitimacy? Is the single nari still not sanskari? On the show tonight, Srimati Piyukundu, author of Status Single, a book that she describes as India's first non-fiction book on the over 70 million single Indian women. It's also her story of being single at 40. We have Deepa Narayan. She's author and sociologist, the author of Chup, Breaking the Silence About Indian Women. Sanjay Rajora, stand-up comedian who also describes himself as a Jat feminist chauvinist, female chauvinist. Shikha Markan, Mumbai-based filmmaker. She's the maker of the documentary Bachelor Girls, also one of the few women film directors in Indian advertising to have directed so-called masculine products like automobiles and bikes. Kanika Tekriwal, founder of Jet Set Go. In her own words, she survived both cancer and patriarchy and built a multi-million dollar aviation startup in less than a decade. We have Geet Oberoi. She's a founder president of Orchid. She's also the mother of two girls, girls that she adopted as a single woman, V.K. Biju. He's an advocate. Amongst the many cases he's argued is a case that's argued against the entry of women into the Sabarimala temple. And Dr. Kaberi Banerjee, who is a infertility specialist. Shimu, I want to start with you. Your book set out to uncover the truth about being single in India. What did you find? Was it a pleasant surprise or an ugly surprise?
Well, honestly speaking, I think it's been a roller coaster ride, because what started as my journey of being single and the shaming and the stereotyping and the constant invasion of my privacy and, you know, almost scrutinizing my parents that what's wrong with you and why don't you get married? My uncle asking me in a public function, are you a lesbian? You know, things like this, to finally then interviewing 3,000 urban single women. And when we say single, let me just qualify that. It means divorced women, widowed, separated women, also disabled, and the huge LGBTQ population, mm-hmm. which nobody even, you know, they're not even counted in the running. So I think the experiences, if you see the cover of my book, it's a collage of words. And they are words like slut, lesbian, selfish, arrogant, ambitious, never really a compliment for a single woman, yeah. always seen as a reason for her remaining unmarried, spinster, banj, bin biyahi, NGO type ki activist. So maybe out of the 10,000 words that we crowdsourced, maybe 1,000 were complimentary. Abla, you know, bichari, bitch, dude, you know, words like that. So, you know, what's shocking really is, Sarah, that this is really not rural India. This is the heart of urban India. These are working women who are qualified, who belong to so-called liberated families. You know, they watch films like Queen, they're drinking wine, you know, women are on, you know, dating apps. But deep down, you know, we are fighting the same patriarchy, the same misogyny, which I believe our mothers and grandmothers fought.
And it's not just urban India, it's even in cities, cosmopolitan cities.
Yes, so-called cosmopolitan
cities. The most liberal cities like
yeah.
Mumbai, for example, yeah. right? Shikha, you had a harrowing experience yourself when you moved to Mumbai to go into this industry. And your book is called Bachelor, your film is called Bachelor Girls. What is a bachelor girl?
Well, that's like a prefix to your name that gets attached when you enter the city and start meeting real estate brokers. Looking for a house, that's what they call you. Aap to bachelor girl hai. So this sounds like wrong grammar, but then you realize that's the new identity, you know, you sort of have. And yes, I went through terrible experiences looking for a house. So my film is basically focusing on housing discrimination faced by single women in the country. I focused on Bombay, but it's so surprising that when the promo of my film came out, I had stories flooding in from everywhere, from Chennai, from Bangalore, from Calcutta, from Delhi. And I myself did not perceive that this is such a big issue which came forth. And I think it's extremely prevalent in urban areas where, you know, women are moving cities to cities in pursuit of their careers. And it's so contradictory, Sarah, that I have been saying this repeatedly, that, you know, after so many years of women's struggle and having so many campaigns to educate women, talking about their economic independence, you know, becoming this version that we all aspire for, you know, self-made, assertive, educated, on our own, claiming her life, you know, and we would say, okay, this is the pinnacle of a woman's liberation or her freedom. At the end of it, somebody will shut a door on your face and say, hello, you can't stay in my house.
So
because
talking about campaigns, since you're in this industry, if you look at the ads that we're seeing nowadays, we're being flooded by these messages, the kinds you talked about. So what's going on? Is this really a reflection of society, or have women moved and society's kept pace? Or, like you said, is it aspirational?
I think that women have evolved much faster than our society as a whole. I think women have, you know, adopted their, discovered their identities, actually. They have rediscovered who they are. They're going all out. And I mean, we have questioned the notions and the norms for so long that we have come out as a new breed today. But society is still living in multiple centuries. Like, we're a very interesting country that you would find
in 18th century. Different centuries at home and out in the workspace.
Yeah. And the interesting part in a city like Bombay is, and why this story, my story and my film becomes interesting in a city like Bombay, is because A, it's touted as, you know, one of the most liberal cities in the country. It's extremely cosmopolitan, or so we would like to assume, because people are coming from everywhere in the country to work here. And people think that Bombay is very safe outside. You can be outside late at night. But look at this
Delhi,
contradiction.
We certainly do. Yeah.
You're so unsafe inside. You're denied, you know, a safe shelter above your head. So where does that leave us?
So the city of dreams can actually turn into a nightmare. But Sanjay, maybe you can come in here. So if we're saying landlords don't want to give Indian women homes, they prefer married women, they prefer women with families, then surely men must also be facing the same problem.
Well, it's I think it's really a man complaining about his problems is not the time. It's not the time for that right now, actually. But yes, that's true. Well, like I'm 45 and I am against marriage, so I never got married. When I was trying to look for an accommodation, I did not get it. Eventually, I had to buy a house of my own. You know, fortunately, I had that amount of money to buy that house.
So it's much worse for women, though, you're saying.
Yeah, it's much worse for them. But I think the problem here is that how we have normalized the institution of marriage, you know. I think everybody is single. Everybody, whether they are married or they are in a relationship, and relationship is just one step away from marriage. And patriarchy, why it is such a successful institution, because it thrives on soft institutions like family and marriage, because nobody criticizes them. They are, you know, supposed to be like people like Karan Johar come up with films like Love Your Parents, and Yash Chopra makes films, Someone Somewhere is Made for You, and that's how you normalize all these things. As long as these things are normalized and accepted in our everyday life, it will be very difficult to dismantle patriarchy, and hence to find any accommodation for single people, especially single men. And because there are 71 million single women in this country, I mean, of course, they'll be single. What choices do they have? Indian men.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's another show.
No, that's interesting. Are we single by choice or are we single by force? But there's a word for you. You said you're unmarried. You don't believe in marriage. Commitment phobic is what the girls would call you. But now we also have women who are being called commitment phobic, and they're wearing it as a badge of honor. Kanika, come in here. Like you said, you described it yourself. You said you've survived cancer and you've survived patriarchy. Which was the bigger battle to fight?
That's a hard question to answer, but I think patriarchy would probably be the right answer. So, you know, I work in a very, very male-dominated business. I was at a conference as early as 4 days ago, where it was a CEO's conference with about 60 people seated around the table, 60 CEOs. And the chair of the conference chose to skip me and go to the next person and say, sir, why don't you start with your comments? And then I looked at him like, you know, I mean, I'm here too, and... He's like, oh, ma'am, sorry, I thought you were a secretary.
Oh.
And that's, you've been asked to serve coffee also.
Oh, exactly. So, you know, I've been through this repeatedly from people like the airport security assuming I'm a cabin crew to, you know, customers and vendors assuming that I'm this boss's secretary to, you know, I mean, pilots not wanting to work for me because I'm as old as their daughter. So I think it's the past 5 years while building this business, it's of course, it's made me very, very strong and, you know, made my determination to achieve what I want to achieve harder, stronger. But I think my biggest learning that's come about from this is that we may talk about changing India and, you know, a lot of things changing drastically. But at the heart of it, we still remain where we are. You know, we're still fighting for the same things our mothers and our grandmothers fought for. I mean, I had to go out and buy a house too, as early as, again, 1 year ago, because I'd keep moving houses every couple of years for the simple fact that work got over at about 11:30, 12 in the night for me. So I think
but
it's
even buying
challenge.
A house can be a problem if you're a single woman, unless you have your dad along or someone who's pretending to be your husband. So even that's not easy.
Or if you can pay a premium.
But you're talking only about the workspace. For you, it was a battle that started even at home.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean,
you're from a Marwadi community.
Yeah,
and it was expected that you'd be married.
Yeah, so I think I'm from a very traditional Marwadi family. Whilst I got an education very unlike a Marwadi family, I was sent to one of the best boarding schools, I studied abroad, etc. The right thing to do was get married at a certain age. So when I was diagnosed with cancer, a large part of my extended family was, you know, I think more worried about the fact as to how will you get her married as against, you know, will she recover, will she be fine, etc. A lot of people actually went to the extent of making comments, do you really want her to fight the disease? How will you get her married into a family of equal stature or equal standing? Someone went to the extent of saying, ha, you can get her married to someone, you know, much lower than us, who doesn't run a business like us or something like that. So, I mean, yeah, I think that's
no,
the way
but then you went and broke your parents' heart because you've chosen not to get married.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not commitment phobic or nor am I against marriage, but I think I would choose to do it when I want to do it on my own terms. You know, I don't think I would want to be forced into a marriage or, you know, marry someone for the sake of making society happy. I would probably go into marriage when I want to the right person.
No, but then I think that throws up an interesting question. Are we single by choice or are we single because we're waiting for the right man or the right moment? Deepa, what have you found in your book? How modern or liberal or liberated really are we when we talk about being single in India today?
I think you have to go back to a deeper question which you just touched upon, that our culture really holds women prefers that women don't exist. Mm-hmm. So women become invisible. So women walking out of marriage or delaying marriage is a symptom that all is not well with our family, all is not well with our society, all is not well with the way men treat women. And women, as they get more power, more education, more independence, are saying, this is not what I want in my life, and are so walking away. And I think that should be what we should really be investigating, because it's the same, almost the same the world over, that as long as women are treated in humane ways, as women get educated and independent, they will walk out.
Okay, but then complicating matters, Kaveri, is the fact that if you're saying this is we want to look out for ourselves first, complicating matters is the elephant in the room, the fact that the biological clock is ticking.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, women that way are underprivileged in more ways than one. Even naturally, a man can go on having babies till his 70s or 80s, but a woman's clock almost stops at 40 or even much earlier in some cases. So while that's the peak of their professional or educational life is 30 to 40, they've just finished their education, they're trying to find a good job or become an entrepreneur, and that's the time the pressure of getting married, start a family comes. And by the time they have decided that this is the time I want to do it, in many cases it's too late. So, for example, you may establish yourself at 38, 39, and then the chance, if you want your own biological child, it may be too late. So science does come to help in certain instances, but yes, I completely buy your point that we are, you know...
Okay, but there are obviously options and solutions. Women can make choices, as you did. You chose to adopt. How easy or difficult was that for you, being a single woman? Why did you choose... since you didn't have a partner, and you know the convention is that kids need a set of parents, mom and dad.
Sarah, I chose to adopt. I have two daughters. Both of them were adopted, and I chose to adopt the first one when I was 32. And by then, I did my bits of meeting prospective grooms in the lobbies of hotels and stuff, and I've done that, ads in the papers and all that rubbish. But I didn't think. I still think, the Indian man is not as empowered or nowhere close to the Indian woman. The way they are, coming up and just finding their own self, like, the lady said there. And so that's it. So, my clock was ticking, and I don't care about my own kids or coming from my womb and all. A child is a child, and I love children. So I just went ahead and...
were you supported by your family?
My immediate family, yes. My mother and my sisters. But at large, the community, you have to hear some of the things I had to... Besides, something's wrong with her, iske saath toh kuch hoega kharab, and, zarur kuch isme kami hoegi. Besides that, even to the extent of... And these are educated people, mind you.
Mm.
Do you think you're God? That you're doing something which is against the law of nature. Rubbish, total. Initially it used to just drive me nuts, but with time, it's like choosing your battles, just let the dogs bark kind of scenario, So that is what it was. And it was very difficult, it took really long then. But over the years, what I hear, and by the time I got my second daughter, it was relatively less time. But, it is not the woman who needs to empower themselves. Women are fine. It is the community, which the biggest barrier in adoption is not the person who wants to adopt. It is the people around them. It's the harassment. It's the, it's the thought process of everybody around, which needs to change. It's not us which needs to change. When I say us, I mean, men and women, single, who wants to adopt or...
Are you talking just about the adoption process or even beyond, like going to school,
etc.? I would say even beyond.
Yeah.
Even
beyond.
Much
beyond.
I think even beyond. Just being single, what the hell? I don't want to have a husband, or if I want to have, I will have. And I did get married. I just got married 2 years ago because I found, somebody I love. And he was an Indian.
I think that's terrifying. It's terrifying for all the men over here. All Indian women can't be going abroad to find their husband. Vijay, come in over here. What we're hearing is very scary, that Indian women are saying that Indian men just don't match up and we can't find someone.
Absolutely.
And eventually we'll have to settle for subpar if we want marriage and the rest of that. Picket fence and...
I think what's also... Okay, yeah.
Sarah, see, it's a very interesting topic, and I respect my left side and right side.
He's covering all bases,
yes.
Ladies.
Whatever they are having, which they showed that courage that I wanted to be alone, and I will survive accordingly. But whatever the faults in marriage, the marital life, according to our culture, according to our system, not only the country and other countries, whatever the faults, a marital life is appropriate for the society, number one. Just think in this way. And not only that, the very creation of man and woman, psychologically, spiritually, mentally, and every way, not for to be alone, but for to be together. The very creation or whatever it is.
And what does the man need to do to ensure that
that's this coming. Just
marriage
coming.
Is a healthy
just
one?
Just I'm coming. See, now, just see the points which made by my friends. All of them were having this reason or that reason that because of this, I adopted this way. Because of this, I adopted this. Therefore, what she said is correct, that the society has to be changed. The family circumstance has to be changed, and otherwise the things will be continuing like this. There is a rapid expansion, this 71%, as you said, that now it is increasing. How it is increasing, why it is increasing? Now she said that when she faced when she was searching a house, she faced the harassment. When something diagnosed, then she faced problem. So these problems, the where it is starting from our society, and this society has to be changed so that at least the thinking of this way,
but
that
society has to change, or women have to change. Shima, you are disagreeing. Come in here.
You know, I find this like this whole heteronormative generalization of society has to change. You know, men have to love women. I find it nauseating. I mean, because what about women loving women? What about women loving men and women? You know, what about disabled women? What about women who got married not once but twice and they have been abandoned, or they are fighting court cases? And how can you generalize and say that, you know, we need to marry? And what are we saying? If we are saying that today there are 71 million single women, then this attitude has to change. This is the seed of the problem, according to me. You know, this conservative, regressive, and as Sanjay said, you know, this centrality of marriage in our society as fixing a woman's place, you know, that gives her social sanctimony, that gives her entrance to, you know, the gynecologist doesn't ask her any uncomfortable questions, the landlord says, ajao, you know, you have a husband or a father with you. We need to remove this regressive
quick response.
Mindset.
This is conservative and this is a regressive point of view that you're putting forward. You're expecting women to be the, you know, the holders of this change in society and maintaining societal norms, while men don't have to do anything.
See, Sarah, this is what I told. The family education and awareness and premarital counseling and premarital disclosure of diseases, these all are to be required. Yes. See, one judge in Tamil Nadu High Court, he said premarital disclosure of any type of disease is also important. See, I will tell you one thing from my experience. From the trial court to apex court, I conducted many cases, matrimonial cases, divorce cases. See, the reasons are there, can be solved if these two things were there in many cases.
So you're saying divorces are happening because women have had premarital sex?
See,
I'm assuming they've had it with a man.
Some message has to go. When I start from my house to be here, I decided some message has to go. And
okay,
I'm going to raise this in
court. Come on, did you do it?
So this is premarital, this is disclosure, premarital counseling and family counseling is essential. A substantial amount, percentage of this loneliness which they are adopting can be removed.
Loneliness
or opting loneliness.
What is he saying?
Okay, Sanjay, come on in here. Let's get a different man's point of view.
I want to remind something that I read somewhere that Rumi had said, that if you are scared of loneliness and boredom, do not get married. And this is Rumi.
That's
this
correct.
Is not made up by me.
Right.
Secondly, you use the term and that you are commitment phobic. I think there are other things to commit yourself to, and I don't consider it as being commitment phobic for deciding or choosing to be single or unmarried. Because in the house, people say, you run away from responsibilities. मैं पागल हूँ क्या फालतू की जिम्मेदारियां सर पर उठाऊं? मेरे ट्रैफिक जाम की जिम्मेदारी काफी लगती है, उतना और मैं चार इकट्ठे लूंगा. और तीसरी चीज, I actually quite like the female biological clock, because it is very fast. You know, humankind should stop producing kids. That is the worst thing that you are doing to the planet. And lastly, the hypocrisy of the society is highlighted. Like, we are talking about 71 million single women and we are having a TV show. But a man in the 30s and 40s, when he is single, usko thoda sa pressure aata hai, kam hota chala jata hai. By the time he is into 60s, wo fakir ho jata hai. And then he says, main to jhola leke nikalunga. Then they say, he is incorruptible, isko koi duniya se le jana. But with women, right from the very beginning till 70s or 80s, they keep on coming up with remarks like, as the words in the cover of your book say, these are the words for all the women.
Okay, but then I want to go back to the question that Kanika just mentioned. My point is, we're doing this show on women being single. My question is, are we single by choice or are we single by force?
Circumstance?
Is the long-term goal to be single forever because it's more fulfilling than a married life? Or is it just, we're single until we find the right guy, we will eventually settle? Maybe you can respond, because you did marry then in the end.
Yes, just 2 years ago. So I got married when I was 45. I'm 47 now. And as far as I'm concerned, when I was in my late 20s and I wanted to get married, and I wanted to get married because all my friends were getting married, all my cousins, all, you know, people my age were getting married, and I was, you know, kind of getting a little stressed what's happening to me, but I just wasn't getting the person I wanted. And at that point, I would say I was single by circumstance, like, you know, she said. But after, you know, refocusing my life on my children and my work, it was a blessing in disguise. And then I maintained my singlehood as a choice. I don't want to have a man in my life, because there were such jerks around. Really, it's sad. It is really sad.
Shikha, what about you? Come in here. Is the long-term goal, are we looking at this as if that all women, especially Indian women, should go through a phase when you're single, in their late 20s, early 30s or whatever? Because until you can be by yourself, with yourself, you don't know who you want to be with. And once you've been single, it'll help you be a more stable, a more like, not selfish, but a more like looking out for yourself also in your marriage.
I think, you know, this is a very complex question. It doesn't have an easy answer. I think the problem basically lies in the fact that the institutions such as marriage, I would even say motherhood, you know, and the notions that we attach, the meanings that we attach to these kind of institutions and identities are very flawed.
Family education.
Not just litigation, they are flawed in terms of cultural definitions, the way society treats these notions, the kind of psychological implication it has on a woman. So they are very flawed, and women have questioned and they have wanted and are trying to be single out of choice to discover another path or discover another definition altogether. And that path may not be an easy one. It can strike you with loneliness. It can be a difficult journey. Not that, I mean, similarly, if you're into a marriage situation, which is not out of choice, if it's an arranged marriage, or if you just rush into a marriage because of parental pressure, you can also go through a lot of emotional disturbances in life. So I think the real issue here is, even before we talk about like counseling couples and disclosing diseases, which is, according to me, a very clinical thing and not really a question of social and, you know, emotional status, one needs to first understand that, do we like these definitions of marriage? I mean, we don't have those kind of dialogues. So even I got married a couple of years back, and suddenly my status got upgraded from being one, you know, like a bad character woman in a society to being a madam. And the security guards and watchmen suddenly, like, you know, I had so much of respect oozing towards me. And now I feel like there's so much of pressure on being a mother that, you know, even my own friends who've had children, with all due respect to motherhood, and I love the process and I love their babies and everything, some of them make me feel like, you're not complete. You know, you're not reaching there. I mean, you know, I really liked what Geet said, that you may also want to make a choice of not having children from your womb. Because there is a definition attached to a woman being complete if she's producing babies out of her womb.
First, if she's married, then if she's producing babies. Shrima, you want to come in? So it's not as rosy as it's made out to be. Even your own married friends are telling you that, why are you single?
So for a very long time,
even though they may be in bad marriages themselves.
You know, two things here, Sarah. One is, a lot of my married friends, you know, they keep asking me this question, how do you manage? And for a long time, you know, at least till before I turned 40, I think 40, my, you know, some inner realignment happened and kicked in. I used to answer very sincerely, I manage, I write books, I take care of my parents. And this thing about responsibility, a single woman, you don't have any responsibility. I'm a caregiver to my aging parents. I foster my household's daughter. What is responsibility? Is it producing a child?
The stereotype is, if you're single, you're selfish.
Yeah, you're selfish. Okay, so that thing. And then, you know, married women always telling you that, as Kaveri said here, that, you know, oh, now you're 40 and I have endometriosis and PCOD. So, you know, my married friends sometimes are no different from that judgmental, you know, gynecologist who at Delhi's premium hospital, where I'm paying $2,000 every Wednesday for severe abdominal pain, is telling my mother, when I was 35 years old, 2 days before my birthday, in fact, that get her hysterectomy done, because she doesn't look the type who will settle down. Like, there's a type about that. You know, with this book, Sarah, a lot of journalists also asking me the question, is your book only for single women? So I think, you know, this divide that you're making, single women versus married women, I think a topic like this is also making men and women equally uncomfortable, because we are also examining the institution of marriage in India, I think, which is severely under threat.
And why is it that when you're single, you're sad, you're lonely, you're selfish, and overnight once you get married, you'll be happy?
You'll be happy. So a lot of times, like I went through depression because I have an autoimmune disorder. Well, I clearly have a lot of diseases called fibromyalgia. And a psychoanalyst told me that you need companionship. You should think of adoption. And I said, I will, but cure my depression. You know, talk to me about family history of mental illness. So, you know, like marriage and motherhood, in this country, and I've spoken to almost 5,000 women now, and I've formed an online community called hashtag Status Single on Facebook, where responses have been pouring in. That remains the highest validation of a woman.
But so Deepa, maybe come in here, because a lot of these doctors, counselors, etc., may be women themselves.
Yeah.
So those perpetuating these messages or this messaging can be women like us who've been through all of this.
Absolutely. It's because we all grow up. We're all conditioned, we're all trained as little girls to behave in certain ways. Mm. And girls learn very early when mothers say, Papa se pucho, they know where the power lies. Mm. In addition, girls are told not to speak loudly, dhang se haso, dhang se baitho, sit properly, bhaiya ke liye ye karo, and you know, all these subtle little things in our middle class and upper class families. When I speak to these 6,000 women and men, as well as school kids, what's really frightening is that the same culture is being perpetuated in the younger, in women who are now in their 20s, very smart, very open, working. And even when I talk to 15-year-old girls, bachelor girls, and when you talk to 15-year-old girls and boys, the same stereotypic typic behaviors, that the values of girls have to be, a good girl has to be nice, caring, loving, and the boys can play and be free. So girls, in all these interviews I did, not a single girl, not a single boy said, I want to be a girl. Not a single man said, I want to be a woman. But many girls said, I wish I was a boy. And this is not transgender issues, but freedom.
So then what has changed? We have all of you women sitting over here. Are you not symptomatic of what's going on? How is there? I know you said 73 million, many of them are divorced, many of them from rural areas. It doesn't look like anything's changed then in India. We're not India in the 21st century then.
I think we've changed a lot on the outside. But I think despite the training, despite working, we thought it would change when women were highly educated. We thought it would change when women started earning incomes. But the inner conditioning, the culture that holds that women shouldn't exist, permeates everything and permeates women as well.
No, so I want to understand. So you're saying a working woman who may be getting promotions at work, who may be traveling all over, you know, on assignments, is still no different in terms of confidence, who may not ask, bargain for an increase in a promotion, things like that, compared
right.
to men.
Right. Absolutely. It's true in India. It's true in the U.S. So 85% of the women I spoke to, and I was shocked, and that's why I kept talking to more and more women, said they were afraid to speak up.
Yeah. Kanika, would you agree?
I think I would, to a certain extent. You know, just to...
No, does the fact that you said you're you've come from a Marwadi family, you've gotten an unusual education where they sent you abroad, they sent you to a boarding school. Perhaps some in your external family would regret that and say that's why you turned out the way you did. But has that changed you?
I think it gave me a lot more confidence. You know, of course, if I had been, I come from a small town called Bhopal, which isn't as cosmopolitan as Delhi, Bombay, etc. You know, so maybe if I had, you know, grown up in Bhopal, studied there, etc., I would possibly be a different, you know, person and think differently. I think what really contributed, you know, to making me the human being I was that I went to a boarding school where, you know, girls and boys were treated alike. I studied abroad where there was no differentiation between, you know, how a girl performed or a boy performed. At the same time, when I went home, you know, there was no differentiation. My mom would always say, ye mera beta hai. You know, and if you look at it subconsciously, she didn't need to say that. But yeah. She would always say it because she was trying to create a culture of equals in the household. Yeah. But again, you know, if you look back, should the need for her to do that be there? You know, should your mom have to go out of her way to create
a culture?
It emphasizes
that you're not equal.
Exactly, that, you know, that you're unequal. Ideally, that's the way we should be brought up, irrespective of the city, town, village, etc., that we grew up in. However, you know, when you... I mean, if I look at my surroundings in Delhi, etc., which is supposed to be a very cosmopolitan city where we go out, we do different things, I think girls are probably more, if not suppressed would be the wrong word, but, you know, probably a lot more fearful of their singlehood than they would be in a smaller city out of fears regarding safety, you know, what people say, the way
more
people
in
talk.
Big cities.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, if
definitely.
I...
Definitely.
I think... I mean, from
definitely.
When I meet my
especially
friends
travel.
In smaller cities, etc., yeah. I think they're a lot more safer, if that's a word, you know,
mm-hmm.
being
I'm
single.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we would be amiss if we did not touch upon sexual harassment. Sexual harassment is something all women face.
Yeah.
But you're saying single women are more vulnerable to this.
Yeah. Absolutely.
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 So I had...
Okay. Go ahead.
I just wanted to touch upon 2 points that were raised here. One was on how the gynecologist's experience, and also generally about how women are treated by men. I think to be fair on all, we can't be so judgmental.
Nobody's being judgmental.
No,
gynecologists, doctors, teachers, they're all a reflection of society. They're part
exactly.
of society.
Yeah,
they will reflect
even
the
men,
attitudes that society
even
has.
Even men, there are many men who are very supportive. And there are also gynecologists who are sensitive. So I think the message...
But nobody's but I want to talk about the larger issue, the issue of sexual harassment
as
a woman
create
first.
A balance.
Okay.
So, you know, I had a woman in my book who, you know, she's 46 and she's single. And, you know, she dresses up, she maintains herself. And for the last 4 years, you know, she works in a corporate office. She's been using her young mama's photo as her husband, keeping it on her work desk. She's created an insurance policy in his name. And she wears, you know, like, say, on Karwa Chauth, then she sort of puts on the diamond ring and the, you know, the Mangal Sutra. Because she says that, Shri, I am sick of being hit on by men who think that I'm available because I'm single. So I'm single, you know, in her case, she wants to be single till she meets a worthy companion, whatever her standards might be. But she says, you know, because I wear tight, you know, fitting clothes, I have a great body and I want to flaunt it. Why not? Or I color my hair a certain way, or I'm very confident, I drink and smoke. Immediately, you're branded as a bad girl and you're the kind who, she says, I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of younger men in office hitting on me. I'm sick of my bosses complaining about their, you know, menopausal wives and then saying that, you know, you're so hot and I'm drawn to you and, you know, even sometimes promising a raise. So I think, you know, there is a tacit... you know, sort of, how do I say, stereotyping of a single woman as a certain way. And, you know, I was recently watching this film Cocktail, which had Deepika as the famous Veronica character, right? I might get her name wrong. And I was thinking to myself, why is it that sometimes, I mean, or most of the time in Bollywood, a single woman, right? She's always shown like the party girl. You know, she's drinking, she's up on the bar stool dancing. Not that there's anything wrong with it. But, you know, why not just an everyday professional single woman? You know, a young divorcee or a single mother. I have loads of single mothers in my book. You know, even those who are raising love child, you know, a love child and the partner has moved on. Why not just, why can't we normalize single?
That's what Sanjay pointed out right in the beginning
absolutely.
About the messaging. And also
and
single women have sexual desires that suddenly magically disappear the moment you get married. Once
yes,
they're married, nobody
Sarah,
has any
or
desires.
Or out of family education. I wanted to ask the gentleman that what does that mean? Family education in a country where parents don't talk, you know, sex education.
Can
what
I say something
education?
On that?
Yeah, please.
Biju, let Biju respond because she's
see,
spoken to him.
See, sexual harassment, more or less, it is more important to say that ladies who are staying alone may be victims. But see, what is the our society, what's happening? We met with the Narfaya's case, Kerala's Suryanelli rape case, many. So the society, their education, how they are educating, see, these all are our curriculum. Even then, still our curriculum is silent
but
on this area.
Married women get raped, grandparents,
everybody. So
get
it is
raped,
not matter of alone.
Get raped.
It is
not,
not
that single
of,
women living by themselves are the only ones who get raped.
Yes. So therefore, what I am trying to say is the society, how they are looking at the issues and how they are getting from.
What is the role of men in this society?
This is not a man alone. Suppose if my sister is there, can I say or can I wish that my sister to be alone? No. No
if
man
she
will.
Want, will so you
therefore,
you are a choice.
If she wants to
if
be
it's
alone,
her choice.
If it's her choice.
No, no. It's her choice, not just because of her choice. It is depends upon the problems she is facing, circumstances.
We are coming back to the idea that a 24-year-old woman has to beg for freedom from a three-member judge, all of whom are
that circumstances has to be dealt with. Because of the circumstances, it could not. It cannot be pure concern. Just like your sister's choice is not just choice. It could be dependent on various circumstances. Your concern for her is just not pure concern. It is also because of lot of issues in your head. Patriarchy being the top of it.
Exactly.
It
Thank
may
you.
Be, but what, that is
Thank
the very,
you.
Very, very rare cases. The cases what she indicated is extremely important. That is what I am saying, that the circumstance has to be dealt with accordingly so that to some extent, it can be solved.
Sir, I'm from UP, and in my state, circumstances are dealt with. And we have a name for it. We call it honor killing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We call it honor killing.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So if a girl chooses to
stay. Not only in your state.
No, but
you're also
you're
proud owner of
such a state.
It's not only in your state. What I said, madam, what I said is, first of all, we all are agreed with that. This is how she's. It's marriage broke or divorce or widow, whatever the things. The circumstances prevailing in the society, how dealt with the situation. That is what the main. That is what I am saying, that the proper education and the family counseling. See, matrimonial cases, 99% is because of the communication gap, is because of different types of family issues, is because of the financial issues. See, these all can be cured.
Cured,
if there is a
some
premarital
also crisis.
No, no, no,
see,
no, no,
see,
no,
see
no,
US,
I, yeah, yeah.
One second, one second.
I
US,
to
you said about in US, there the ladies who are staying alone much more than this. In Colorado state, in US, there what is happening, whenever fixing a marriage, the premarital counseling is compulsory. Our Christian community.
So counseling is the answer to everything.
No, how we can solve?
Just
we can just discuss
counseling?
And laugh and go back. It's okay. How we can solve? That is what the ultimate.
Okay,
message.
Why
was
the
reason?
Why have to go? Okay, quickly
I
go ahead.
Give one
you have to go for a break.
98% of the women I spoke to have been molested.
Yeah.
Counseling is not going to solve that. I'm sorry.
Especially
it's
when
time.
The counselor says go back.
Exactly.
And
the counseling to women is go back. Thora or Sehelu, sacrifice a bit more, try to please
your
man a bit more.
It's
time to stop that.
Yeah.
It's time to
Absolutely.
Stop sacrificing our women, our girls, our daughters to the edifice that you're talking about that is dominated by men. Yes, there are wonderful men. I have a wonderful husband and you're a wonderful guy and I'm sure you have wonderful qualities, but that does not mean our system is flawed.
Mm. Sanjay, quick
sorry, just one more thing. That we shouldn't lose the argument based, we can pick out individual women who are very successful, who are very powerful, who make lots of money, women who are poor and are doing very well, etc. That's not the case. We should look at what's happening to women as a collective.
Correct.
And men as a collective. Mm-hmm. And there's a problem between men and women coming together in a way that's humane and serves both,
okay.
Both men and both women.
Okay, Sanjay, quickly, we have to go
through.
Yeah,
to well, I just want to make, I find this term that you use, broken marriage, very funny. Because I think that's a happy ending for marriage.
Okay, let's go in for a break. We have
you
some
have
young people here. We should get their response because nothing's going to change unless the youth changes.
Sarah, only
have
one second.
Break.
Only
quick
one.
Break,
no,
sir.
No,
we have to go in for a break. Welcome back. It would be a miss to talk about being single in India if you don't talk about the millions who are in rural India and not in cosmopolitan cities. We have Savita here. Savita, aapki story kya hai bataiye?
Main ek lady driver hoon aur
driver matlab?
Main Delhi NCR mein taxi chalati
hoon. Oh wow, very
wow.
cool.
Haan, aur main pichle 6 saalon se chala rahi hoon. But जस्ट लास्ट मंथ में मेरा डिवोर्स हुआ है और ये प्रोसीजर काफ़ी कम से कम मुझे अपने डिवोर्स के लिए काफ़ी संघर्ष करना पड़ा कम से कम 3 साल तक बिकॉज मुझे डिवोर्स देने के लिए मेरे हस्बैंड तैयार नहीं थे.
सो यू वांटेड द डिवोर्स?
या
एंड यू हैड अ जॉब बिफोर यू गॉट?
या यस, मैंने अपनी मैरिज से पहले ही बता दिया था कि मैं ड्राइव करती हूँ. उन्हें तब कोई प्रॉब्लम नहीं थी लेकिन शादी के 10 दिनों बाद उन्होंने मुझे मारना पीटना शुरू कर दिया कि क्योंकि उनके जो फ्रेंड सर्कल में थे वो लोग भड़काते थे उनको कि ड्राइविंग करती है तो लड़की सही नहीं होगी.
आप फिर से शादी करोगे?
अभी तो ऐसा कोई डिसाइड ही नहीं किया.
नहीं, आप क्या चाहते हो? बिकॉज यू आर फाइनेंशियली इंडिपेंडेंट, आपके पास पैसे है, यू डोंट नीड टू डिपेंड ऑन एनीबडी एल्स. वुड यू चूज द सिंगल लाइफ और डू यू वांट टू बी मैरिड?
Choose a single life.
Ah. You choose a single life?
Yes.
But what about घर पे दबाव तो होगी?
Yeah, है. मेरी मम्मी बोलती हैं कि आगे की लाइफ कैसे बीतेगी, तो मैं उनको एक ही जवाब देती हूँ, मुझे किसी के सहारे की जरूरत नहीं है, मैं खुद डिपेंडेंट हूँ.
And do you have kids? बच्चे?
No, I have not kids.
Okay. आप भी कैब ड्राइवर हो?
Yes, मैं टैक्सी ड्राइवर हूँ, दिल्ली NCR में जनाती हूँ. बट मेरी जो लाइफ है बहुत अलग है इनसे, क्योंकि मेरी शादी जो थी 13 साल की उम्र में कर दी गई थी, 13-14 के बीच में. तो उस टाइम मतलब इतनी वो समझ नहीं थी, तो जैसे तैसे मैंने जैसे 3-4 साल 5 साल जो मैंने काटे वो बहुत ही
बुरे गए. डिवोर्स्ड हो अभी?
यस, मेरे डिवोर्स को कम से कम 9 साल हो चुके हैं.
एंड आपने स्टेप ली, यू टुक दिस डिसीजन?
यस.
वाओ, शादी करोगे फिर से?
नो. Mm. Why? I'm quite decided.
Not decided. Okay, we are out of time, but let's get some quick reactions from.
By the way, I am single and single by choice. Mm. But what I found in workplace or in somewhere, most of the work when come to us or somebody says that, "Tum to kar logi." Why? Because you are single, you don't have any other burden. So it is a stereotyping thought process that single means you are free. When you came back home, you don't have any work to do. But actually, it was not like that.
Absolutely.
We also have some household chore to do, and our family is there.
Yeah.
But absolutely. As because I stay in Delhi all alone,
But it's a double-edged sword. Once you're married and you have kids at work, they'll hold that against you. Yeah. And if you're single, they'll hold that against you also.
Pass it on.
What
that
free word
is
loaded.
Firstly, I would say that it's a matter of choice whether you want to be single or not. And sir, it's very disappointing when such a thing is coming from an educated person like you. Good. Firstly, if you have an individual and it's a choice to be single, so there's nothing you should be unhappy about. You gave an example of your sister. If she's happy being single, why are you feeling bad for her?
Absolutely.
Let's hear some men. Any men in the audience who'd like to speak? Go ahead, sir.
Good evening. Just a second. You talked about the Indian film scenario that if a single woman is being shown as a party-going girl. This is recently there is a film on Hindi medium, wherein the protagonist, female protagonist, she is a outgoing modern girl. She never visits any bar.
So there's also a film called Kareeb Kareeb Single, which I really like. The embodiment of.
Yeah.
A young divorcee who dreams of getting married, but she's not desperate.
Yeah.
So change is coming about.
And the point
quickly,
here
sir,
is...
Quickly, sir, make your point.
Yeah, point. She says, I lost my daughter twice. In the film, she says, I lost my daughter once. It was diagnosed, when it was detected, it's a female. And her in-laws asked her to drop. This is the point I'm bringing. That in India, there is a law. Government has come up with a law, forced to come up with a law for prenatal determination of tax. Says as illegal, wherein in the abroad it is compulsory.
But so still that is we the have so much of female infants.
Okay.
Despite
quick
that,
last question.
I think from the small age only in the house we create atmosphere of fathers. मेरी बेटी परी से शादी करेगी एंड दी वुमेन हैव देमसेल्फ एक्सेप्टेड यस वी विल बी कंप्लीट ओनली व्हेन वी गेट मैरिड एंड व्हाट हैपेंस व्हेन वी आर व्हेन द गर्ल्स आर 20 और 21 शी सेज यस आई हैव टू गेट मैरिड ओनली देन आई विल बी कंप्लीट एंड व्हाट हैपेंस यू आर दे आर नॉट गिवन द चॉइस ऑफ चूजिंग द हस्बैंड एंड शी इज गेट मैरिड टू अ गाय शी डोंट इवन नो
हाउ विल यू गेट मैरिड
I'll choose myself. I'll do love marriage. Obviously.
No, and if you met a girl, if you had met a girl who'd been single in her 20s,
yeah. If
she's had premarital sex,
if I find that, no, I don't have any problem. It's her life. I also had sex. I have never.
What do you have?
But there's no problem. But it's her life. If she had, then there is no problem. But if I find that she's completing me, and I find that yes, she's the partner for me, then I don't have any problem.
Okay, perhaps this is the voice of New India. We can hope this is the voice of New India, where they're open towards their partners and their backgrounds and all of that. We're completely out of time on We the People tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That was good.